back to 32.
Take three.
What?
Just keep this in.
Welcome. Let me do the intro. Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me for the fourth time, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
Rolling so well. This is definitely not after recording like 4 hours of baseball podcast right now. This is definitely before we're going to record them. So I assume they're just going to go great because they actually kind of did go well.
I was hoping our intro would like be before we bogged down with 4 hours of baseball podcasts, because I wanted to get your fresh take on sneaking by your team in the fantasy basketball playoffs.
I mean, like,
you went to sleep and you were winning, right?
No, I knew I was going to lose. But when I went to sleep, I was like one field goal ahead of you, and everyone on my team was going to, just to back up, like, yeah. I had the best team all year in the basketball league. I annihilated people all season long, and then through a fluke of scheduling and the worst trade in the history of fantasy sports, you got a player from a team, so that team sort of tanked the end of the season, and so the guy in second place was able to pass me for first, and then I had to play you, a team that now had Russell Westbrook.
Well, hold on. I was right behind you for second place.
No, you were never near me. There were one or 2 weeks you were like 5 games behind me.
Yeah, but that also half my team went out for, like, I had Kevin Love who was out for the year. I had Kristaps Porzingis.
Right.
Was
no,
out for
injuries
the year.
Are part of the game. I'd say cheating, not part of the game. Like, asking me to make a trade, fair, putting a gun to my head and saying you had to make a trade, that would not be fair. So
anyhow, it was a 2 week matchup. Mm. So after the first week, I was probably like a 90% favorite to beat you.
Yeah, I think so.
I was running by you in every single category, and then all of a sudden my team suffered a bunch of injuries. Your only guy who was injured, which is Steph Curry, all of a sudden they said was coming back, and all of a sudden you jumped up to like an 80% favorite. And then coming into the last day, my only chance was I had to catch you in blocks or field goal percentage. And field goal percentage, I didn't really have a chance. Blocks, I was like 3 or 4 behind. You know, I had better blockers. But you got like more blocks. I had fewer blocks from Jared Allen than you had from like Allen Crabbe or something in terms of random Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, Allen Crabbe is dominant.
And so my only chance, and then I benched Buddy Hield because I thought, well, I need – my only chance was that somehow your entire team shoot 25% in your last like 5 players on Sunday, and that I could inch by you in field goal percentage. And that's exactly what happened. You shot for the day in the low 30s. Incredible. And I beat you by like 3 field goals.
I knew it would be bad when like there was like 3 seconds into the Thunder game, Paul George was 0-5.
And Paul George was 0-6. Yeah. And also Steven Adams, who secretly has been the second best player on that team all year. Steven Adams started the game like 5 for 6 or something.
Steven Adams is good.
So, yeah. Yeah, Steven Adams is very good. Carmelo is a piece of garbage.
He's not secretly the second best player. Is he better than who you're saying is one? Westbrook?
Well, I was implying he was better than Paul George.
That's absurd. Paul George is a monster.
Yeah.
Paul George is averaging like 5 threes a game.
Well, Paul George has actually been not so good.
Well, how about this?
The whole month of March.
Let me make a pretend trade. If Kawhi says I'm never coming back to the Spurs because this whole thing got too weird. The Spurs, by the way, will let Kawhi sit for a year before they do a Magic or Pacers type trade, like the Pacers trade or
a Pacers trade where you trade a guy who's just as good if not better and younger.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, like
what we thought the Pacers trade
correct.
Was when Victor Oladipo
would
was
you
like a
so
swing
would, like if you're the Spurs and or you, if you're the obviously if you're the Thunder you do this, like what about Kawhi for PG-13
straight up?
Yeah.
A sign and trade where PG-13 re-ups, you mean? Well, see, how do you do that? Because Paul George is a free agent, and Kawhi's a free agent after one season.
Yeah, I guess they don't need to do that, right?
So you're talking about a hypothetical where they're both under long-term contracts.
Right, I guess they just need to trade Kawhi to get Paul George, who I don't think there's any reason to think he'd come to the Spurs.
Yeah, if he doesn't want to be in Oklahoma City.
Right, and also, like, the Spurs are, the catch for coming to the Spurs is to play with Kawhi. Like, if they don't have Kawhi, then, like, their core is like a...
Well, I mean, they're winning 50 games in a stacked West without him.
I understand, but they have no chance of winning a title without him. Zero chance.
Yeah,
that team is not winning a championship this year.
Yeah, well, obviously not. But if they were to
add a superstar, this is the first year in 20 years that I think that they're going to the playoffs with zero chance of winning a championship.
Yeah, well, at least you're confident they're going to the playoffs. You wouldn't even think that was happening.
Right. No. They have that back-to-back at Lakers and Clippers will be key, but I think they have to. All right. I don't know why.
I mean, I think I told you, like, if that Keeve Chester fantasy basketball rivalry was fierce, if the Timberwolves and Spurs face each other in the playoffs, which you think is impossible,
I won't
but
even
I actually
care.
Have that predicted.
Because we have no chance to win the title.
Really?
You know, let you guys win.
Yeah, but for us, winning a playoff series would be the title because we haven't done that since.
I know. I would definitely root against you and hopefully troll you, but it would have no bear. It would be like, hey, you know, UMBC, you're going to win the first game. What's going to happen? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get.
I'm telling you right now, Jimmy Butler is going to come back. Kawhi's not going to come back, and the Spurs are still going to beat the Wolves in six.
I just don't know if LaMarcus's stuff works in the playoffs. Like, he's not shown that it does. I just think that with the better defense, he did put up 45 on Rudy Gobert a few nights ago, which was pretty impressive.
Oh, he's been incredible. He's been like borderline MVP.
He's been incredible.
He's been
Good. Like, is there any chance he's not at least third team All NBA? Because I saw a list today that did not have him on the third team.
I mean, do you want me to look at my
nobody
team
cares.
Right now?
Because this is a baseball podcast. Let's listen. Which episode is this? This is we're talking about the Twins.
We're gonna talk about the Twins for way longer than anybody cares, and then we're gonna do some baseball
over-unders.
And we have a special. It's March. It's been our guest month, so we have another special guest today.
We really are rocking with the guests. People have been very happy with our with the guests this month.
Yeah,
we should have more guests on.
Yeah, one person may be unhappy with the guest, but let's jump to the podcast. Okay, Akiva. So we are going to do a preview of all 30 teams and give a little of our takes, some postseason predictions, etc. We're going to start with an in-depth preview of my beloved Minnesota Twins. So, Akiva, do you have any idea of who we should have as a guest for this podcast?
Wait, time out.
Should we bring back Jerry Chester?
By the way, is Jerry Chester a big Twins guy? I've never heard him talk Twins.
Well, I mean, we went to game one of the 91 World Series together.
Yeah. I don't know.
Among many
other I feel
other
like Jerry's
games.
A Vikings guy. He doesn't listen to this, right?
No, well, I mean... Well, the Vikings clearly are number one in Minnesota. No, my dad has not listened to this podcast.
Why is that so absurd?
He's no Lewis. He's no
First
Lewis.
First of all, it's Rabbi Lewis to you. How dare you?
Yeah.
Second of all, I told my dad not to listen. But I don't know if he's listening or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But I feel like Jerry's a Vikings guy.
Jerry's a big fair weather fan. Like Jerry gets into the Timberwolves only when the Timberwolves are relevant.
Yeah, he's a bandwagon guy. I know he was really like you guys were talking up like the Minnesota Gophers in football and basketball the last couple of years, and then you don't hear a word about them once the season starts and they're bad.
Well, when my dad grew up, you know, I mean, you got to remember the Twins and the Vikings didn't show up in town until my dad was 10 years old. So my dad, like when he was 6, 7, 8, he was all about
the Your Gophers. Dad was born in
also,
Minnesota.
Also, the Gophers were good back then. Yeah, but also the Gophers, you know, went to the Rose Bowl when my dad was 10 years old. So
yeah, last time they've been there.
Yeah.
All right. So
my dad used to sell trinkets at the Gophers games.
Someone was just telling me they were selling beer, and I was like, "Is that like a thing that people do?" Like when I was a kid, I was
My dad did that in high school. In high school, my dad did that at the old Metropolitan Stadium where the Twins and the Vikings.
You know, I guess we were spoiled. Like that never would have occurred to me. I would have been like, I would have starved before I like sold beer at a baseball game when I was a kid.
Well, you have to be 21 to sell the beer.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I could have sold like Cracker Jacks or something. Anyway, so we had we brought on a friend of mine to talk about the Mets, and I figured we'd bring on a friend of yours to talk about the Minnesota Twins. Then I realized you haven't been in Minnesota in 20 years and you don't have any friends, so I had to find somebody.
I was going
to
say, because I was not given an option as to who our guest was.
Well, I mean, if I thought you had like a ton of Minnesota Twins fans friends, I would have asked
them. Well, Aaron Gleeman was begging to come on the podcast, and I said to him, yeah, I'm sorry, Aaron, but Akiva's already reserved a Twins
anyway fan. We found a great Twins fan and runner sports blogger, Charlie Gilmer. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So Charlie, so you live in Minnesota now, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Keeve, there's no other reason Charlie's on the podcast today.
No, listen, first of all, Charlie, what do you think about people who leave Minnesota, but then 30 years later, like Drew McGarry or Chester, who like leave Minnesota, literally don't step foot in the state for another 30 years, but still are like repping the purple and gold and the Twins?
I say it's allowed, but you can't call yourself the biggest fan. You can't say I'm a diehard.
You can't be a diehard if you don't live in the state. That is actually a hot take.
Right.
Wait, so Akiva, you're not a diehard of anybody then, because you're not even the same continent.
Well,
I got
Team Israel and the WBC.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm a WBC guy. That's true.
I got news for you. Now, Akiva is more of an Israeli than anybody who was on that actual team.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. I wanted to put some Twins questions to you guys. But first, let's you know, talk about the roster. Everyone's dying to hear really in-depth thoughts about the Minnesota Twins roster. So let's start with the lineup. The truth is, you guys did what I thought the Mets should do, which is like wait and then go bargain shopping at the end when I didn't think that to the extent that ended up happening was like a historically strange free agent class. But you guys were able to pick from some good players towards the end of free agency. So let's start there. What do you guys think about the Twins, you know, signing the Lance Lynns of the world at the end, like after everyone, you know, basically ran out of money. So the poor guys got to eat.
I think it was a great move, mostly because of the short-term deals that all the guys had to sign. One of the biggest problems in Twins history with free agents is the hesitance to sign guys for long-term deals, and they just managed to wait out the market and not have to worry about that. And I think because there are a lot of high-risk guys on the market this year, Lynn coming off of an injury, Odorizzi a little bit of injury in the past, Logan Morrison only having one good year in his career, I think they were great guys to sign into one-year deals.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Twins are never going to win the big free agent. Like, you know, coming into this offseason, everybody knew the Twins desperately needed pitching. And the Twins were supposedly in the Yu Darvish conversation quite late into the game, but it was delusional all along. The chance of the Twins getting Yu Darvish was never higher than like 10%. And so one of the brilliant things, and I'm sure Charlie will agree with me, like the Twins under Terry Ryan for two decades basically were a frustrating team to follow, because even when we were good, you know, like in the previous decade when they made the playoffs 6 out of 8 years, the process was extraordinarily regressive, you know, resistant to any kind of stats. I mean, for example, Nick Blackburn, you know, went 12-12 with like a 4 ERA 1 year, and his advanced stats were terrible. And then he went 12-12 the next year, and the Twins signed a big contract. And when asked why, the general manager literally said, "Well, he won 12."
Wait, timeout. And you, what does that mean? You asked, like, you have conversations with the general manager, and he answered.
What do you mean?
You said when you asked why, and then Terry Ryan answered.
The proverbial you.
Oh,
when one would ask
it sound,
why.
Sometimes
did you do
this? Charlie. Sometimes okay. Chester like name drops or makes it seem like he's very important. So I thought like you had a direct access to Terry Ryan.
No, I have no access to Terry Ryan. Anyways, the point is that the Twins front office was so frustrating. But one of the other sort of like on the down low, one of the frustrating things about Terry Ryan is every offseason he would immediately, whoever they were going to sign, they would have all their guys signed by the winter meetings. Like the first week of free agency, the Twins would jump in, sign their two, you know, mediocre relief pitchers and be done. And the reason that's annoying is because there's like 30 available, you know, mediocre setup men, and they're all basically interchangeable. And so the smart move is not to jump and pay the first one. It's to let the market settle and then grab the couple, you know, towards the end who are available. So the Twins front office did that really well. As Charlie said, like, you know, once we didn't get Yu Darvish, then they ended up, they traded for Jake Odorizzi, and everybody thought, well, first of all, they got Addison Reed from your Mets. And that was, you know, a big contract by the Twin standards. And he's pretty good. They got Fernando Rodney, who actually was good last year after April, to help the bullpen. But then the starting pitchers is really where they needed a lot of help, especially Irvin Santana is injured and going to miss, you know, the first chunk of the season. So they traded for Jake Odorizzi, and Twins fans thought, okay, all right, we're done. And then they signed Lance Lynn, as Charlie said, 1 year, $12 million contract, which is just, you know, a beautiful job of taking advantage of the depressed market this year. And as Charlie also said, like, there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract, because no matter how, you know, even if the guy sucks, it's 1 year. You're done. It's not, you know, limiting your team in future seasons.
Yeah, we're seeing that a lot in the NFL this year, actually, where a lot of teams have got, like, I mean, Sue just signed one now. You have, like, I don't mind giving you, you know, $18 million if it's for 1 year. You know, all you're doing is taking up salary cap, but there's no long-term commitment. It works, especially works in football where careers.
And there's no salary cap. In salary cap, there's no salary
true,
cap.
True, but there's though, a, so. There's most teams in theory have a salary ceiling.
So, but, and I made this analogy on Twitter. I said, like, the Twins offseason was kind of like you go to, like, your favorite band's concert, and then they come out for an encore, and you're like, okay, all right, the concert's done. And so people come to the exits. And they come out for another encore, and people are like, all right, we're done. We're going to the exits. And this happened 3 times because then they added Lance Lynn. Then they added Logan Morrison, who had 38 home runs last year, and we got literally a 1 year, $6 million contract, which is amazing because this is a lineup that led all of baseball in every offensive category in August and September last year. Which is only a 2-month period, granted. But over the course of the season, I think they were the 4th-best offense in the American League. And everybody's very, very young. You know, a lot of guys had career years, and they might not be sustainable. And our Jorge Polanco, our shortstop, who was batting 3rd and hit 10 homers in the last month of the season, is now suspended for the first 80 games for PEDs. So maybe that explains why he had 10 homers in the last month of the season. But this is a lineup that, you know, you were pretty confident about coming in, and that's before they added Logan Morrison for nothing. That's before Miguel Sano, who we thought maybe either suspended or injured. It turns out he's ready to go day one, right? And so I think that I'm very excited about this offense. You know, Byron Buxton in center field might, you know, if he plays like he did the second half of the year, he might be an MVP candidate. So very excited about the offense.
Charlie, what are you most worried about? So the projected lineup for the non-Twins fanatics out there, Dozier, Minnesota zone Joe Mauer, Miguel Sano. Is Rosario batting cleanup?
No, Sano's batting cleanup.
So is Rosario in the...
I think Morrison's going to be hitting fourth
yeah,
or fifth.
Is Rosario in the opening day lineup or is he injured?
He's a little sore.
So Mars and Rosario, yeah, Buxton, and it gets a little weak at the bottom. Kepler, Escobar, Castro. Is this a better lineup than last year's team?
Timeout. You're wrong. And this is why it's such an impressive lineup. Because it has no holes. This is the first Twins lineup since 1991 that has literally no holes. There's not a single player. The only player in the entire lineup who's below average for his position is Castro, and he's like 98 or something like that percent of an average catcher. He's like within 2% of average.
And there's also Mitch Garver coming off the bench, and he has shown flashes of having good offense. So if he steps in...
Yeah, he can't field, but yeah.
Escobar is probably a slightly below average shortstop.
That's an insane thing to say because he was an above average third baseman last year. He's a terrible defensive shortstop, that's for sure, right? But his stats, he had 20 home runs last year. If he repeats last season, especially the second half, see, the problem with the Twins is all these guys, they were like such massive difference between the first half and the second half. But Escobar had a 900 OPS the second half of the season. So did Buxton. Rosario, the whole season, was like at 850 or something like that. Polanco, as we said, was off the charts, but he's, you know, suspended for the first half of the season. Escobar, the plan actually was that Escobar would be the third baseman again like he was last year because Sano was going to be injured or whatever. And then when Sano came back, he would probably DH. Now that they got Logan Morrison, hopefully the goal, and also that they have Polanco out, the goal is that Escobar slides over to shortstop, where, again, he's a liability defensively, but he's great offensively. You have Sano at third, and then you can have Morrison DH. So actually, Polanco being gone, I don't think really hurts their offense because you have all those bats in the lineup every day. What it hurts is your defense.
Joe Mauer is an average or above average first baseman?
When you take his total package into account, yeah, go look at his wins above replacement.
All right, I'm going to name, we do this with football all the time. Charlie, join in.
Well, hold on. Yeah. Akiva, he has a 390 on base percentage and
Alexander, I'm going to name first baseman and you tell me if you'd rather for this year.
Hold on. I just want to point something out. Again, like everyone else on the Twins, he was garbage in April. He batted 320 something for the year from May 1st on.
And also, it's the emptiest 320 in the history of baseball.
Yeah, because it really sucks to have a 400 on base percentage for your number two hitter. That's not valuable. You're right.
Before we go into this game,
Charlie, jump in here.
I just have to let you know that my personal love of Joe Mauer is not going to give me any honest answers in this game. So
because most Twins fans are like from the Akiva school of old school baseball idiocy, where all they think that you need from first baseman is home runs and RBIs. So most Twins fans actually hate Joe Mauer, sort of the same way that a lot of Reds fans hate Joey Votto.
Right.
But Charlie's not in that camp, and neither am I.
And
but
go ahead, Akiva. Well, let me just say one more thing about Mauer. His ability to hit to all fields, they started shifting him in the outfield last year, and he just started pulling the ball. Not as much as he could have, but he's probably going to get better at it this year. I think he's better than people give him credit for because his ability to adjust mid-season, mid-series, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he was top five in the American League last year among first basemen and wins above replacement. So
yeah.
Oh, we lost Akiva. Oh, that's why it's been so pleasant for the last couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Are you ready for America's favorite game, which is I'm going to name players at a position. You tell me if your guy is better than those.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Paul Goldschmidt or Joe Mauer?
Paul Goldschmidt.
First of all, why are we talking about the National League?
The majors. You're saying above average. Let's use a bigger sample size. Yeah. Joey Votto.
Okay.
All right. Freddie Freeman. Anthony Rizzo. Cody Bellinger. Jose Abreu, Edwin Encarnacion, Rhys Hoskins, Will Myers, Eric Hosmer, Miggy.
Again, and I just want to repeat because you were gone for this. Last year, Joe Mauer had 3.4 wins above replacement, which was tied for eighth best among all first basemen in all of Major League Baseball. One spot behind Logan Morrison, his new teammate. Okay, so he was ahead of half the guys you've already mentioned, just FYI. The only guys better than him last year were Votto, Goldschmidt, Jose Abreu, Anthony Rizzo, Cody Bellinger, Eric Hosmer, Logan Morrison. And that again, that's what happens when you have elite defense, an 800 OPS, and a 384 on base percentage.
Huh. I'd rather have Matt Olson. I'd rather have Buster Posey.
Buster Posey's a catcher,
but
okay.
Play a lot of first base this year.
We're not talking about fantasy. We're talking about real life.
I think he's pretty equal to Justin Smoke. I think he's...
I mean, Smoke's a better...
He's in the Carlos Santana level. He's obviously a different player. I'd probably rather have the young guys like Greg Bird. I know he just broke his leg. Josh Bell, even on the Pirates. Like, to me,
Akiva, obviously, if we're trading one for one, I agree with you.
Ian Desmond.
Rather have the young guy than the 34-year-old.
By the way, do you know who, in my opinion, is other than the fact that he can never stay healthy, the most underrated player in all of baseball? Speaking of first baseman, Justin Bour. I feel like he's always at 280, 25 home runs, and his season always ends on like August 1st. If he ever put together a full season, he'd be considered a star.
Yeah, he had a 900 OPS last year, I think. So.
All right, Charlie, you want to play a game? You want to play a Twins game? You and Alex, and I'll be the judge here.
All right.
Okay. How are you with Twins history? I think you're a little younger than Alex and myself, or each 34.
Yeah, but I've done some studying.
Okay. Because Alex just dropped myself, that he was at the 1991 World Series, and you know we were pretty young then.
I was not alive then, but my parents were at Game 7 of the 91 World Series. So
Charlie's by the way, in my class, there was 19 kids in my class in 1991 in third grade. I went to Game 1 of the World Series, and I was talking a big game. Three of the kids in my class went to Game 7.
I mean, it's a small state.
So,
so you didn't go to Game 7.
So I got
Jerry Chester couldn't shell out for Game 7?
Well, we already went to Game 1. I mean,
listen.
Have I told you the story? You know how much we paid for our Game 1 World Series tickets?
How much?
$90. And the woman we bought them from, like, was shaking so hard that my dad told me this later because at the time I was too young. But my dad thinks she was, like, on drugs or something.
Oh, so she just needed a quick score.
Something like that. When I do remember, as we walked in the stadium, my dad turned to like the security guard and said, "Are these real?"
Who?
Like,
thought, yeah, like, you never sure ask if they're tickets. Real. Jerry Chester.
No, well, we had already.
I'm guessing he didn't do a lot of partying in college. Jerry, could be wrong. All right, so we're gonna play the Twins opening day lineup Sporkle game. We're gonna go 1-1-1, and all you have to do is name a player, including a pitcher, who was on the Twins opening day roster for any season, not including this one because we don't know their opening day lineup yet, any season from 1991 until 2017. And obviously,
Akiva, this game is going to take 6 hours and it'll be really boring.
We're going to go quickly, 1-1-1. We don't have to finish all 270 names.
Is this just the starting lineup?
Just the starting opening day starting lineup. The nine, it's 10 guys because you're in the AL, the nine hitters and the opening day pitcher. If Charlie messes up, no pressure on him. And if Chester can't get one, I feel like it's fun for Chester to know nothing about the Twins. Okay. So, Charlie, do you want to go first since you're our guest?
Sure.
All right. Give me a name. Give me a last name.
Koski.
All right. Corey Koski. Chester, you go. By the way, four.
Wait. Oh, this is an actual Sporkle?
Yeah. I'm typing in the Sporkle.
Okay. All right, I'm going to try and do this methodically. So we'll start with last season. So let's start with Jason Castro.
Yeah, you should take the easy ones first, and then when the other guy runs out, this is like strategy.
Well, how am I going to remember what he picked?
I'll remind you. All right, we got Castro. Castro. We got Corey Koski. What do you got for us, Charlie?
I'm going to make you spell Doug Minkiewicz.
I'm hoping. I sort of know how to.
K-I-E.
When I applied for a job at ESPN. They have, by the way, I got it right on the first try, Minkiewicz, because he was on the Mets too. I applied for a job at ESPN, they had you spell commonly misspelled names, like Dwayne Wade was on there. I have the list. I keep saying I'm going to post it in the Facebook group, and I keep forgetting. But so Dwayne Wade was on there, Doug Minkiewicz was on there. There was like five or six, like always, you know, misspelled names, and they were, I mean, but you were
Coach K.
Coach K. I think that's almost like too hard. But also, you were able to Google, so I feel like that was a pretty stupid part of the list because. It wasn't like you were in a room. Like they send you the test and they say you have 45 minutes to complete the whole thing. But I don't know. That seems like, you know, just Googling Dwayne Wade. It wasn't like post Google era. All right, so we're up to Chester. You go.
All right, Joe Mauer.
Why don't we do two at a time to save time?
I'm editing this out anyways. Nobody's gonna want to listen to this, Akiva. It's gonna be really dumb.
Do you want to do the 20? Do you want to do 2017? Charlie, he's a hater. Don't listen to him.
Okay.
Fine, we'll keep going for another hour and guess every Twins lineup for the last 27 years.
Well, I was hoping you'd get knocked out soon, Chester. You'd like say someone who wasn't on there or something.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. You want me to say another name?
You guys could just throw out names.
Miguel Sano.
Who? Sano?
Yeah.
All right.
Torii Hunter. Hunter.
Who do you think has the most? I think Torii Hunter just put up like most, 9. You know, because it. Because it puts you in every time you're in the lineup. So Torii Hunter is like 9 or 10.
No, because he was on the Angels for a minute. He left. I mean, what about Mauer?
How many times do you think Jack Morris is on the list, guys?
Just one.
One. He was only on the team in 91.
Yeah, correct. Mauer. I think Mauer was Mauer is always hurt. Mauer, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, he's never missed an opening day.
Oh, yeah, 09.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. His MVP season, he's...
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah,
so he did miss one.
Yeah.
All right. What about Ron Coomer? He's got to be on this list, right?
Yeah, he was their all-star in 98.
From the glory days, yeah.
So how about try this? Opening day starters. Let's do that. That's easier.
Brad Radke.
Starting pitchers?
Yeah. Brad Radke, yeah. So opening day starting pitchers.
Okay.
Do you know how many Radke had, by the way? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Like, 9 opening day starts.
9.
Radke was not good enough to start 9 times in opening day.
Brad Radke is one of the most underrated players in baseball history. Brad Radke, I would guess he has 46 career WAR. Like, he's like not a Hall of Famer, but he's one level below that. He's in the same category as like Johnny Damon.
He did get really like 3% of the vote on the Hall of Fame ballot once.
He was on the ballot.
He's like a very underrated player in my opinion.
Now, who do you think has more opening day starts for the Twins? Johan Santana or Irvin Santana?
Johan, 2-2 Sure.
It's 2-2
No, Johan's got more than 2.
Charlie nails it. 2-2
Wow.
It's a tie. We still have a couple opening day starting pitcher spots. Oh. Who's the opening starter this year? Berrios?
Scott. What about they had Scott Baker a couple years ago.
Baker
probably
was not a bad player, honestly. Probably shouldn't be your...
He was like Brad Radke.
Yeah, he was kind of Brad Radke-ish. Is Berrios your opening day starter?
8 perfect innings once.
I would assume so, because Santana would have been
if not for his injury. So Odorizzi is the opening day starter.
Oh, they're giving it to Odorizzi? Really?
Yeah, so Berrios can pitch in Puerto Rico when they go there.
Oh, I see.
Where's the Puerto Rico? The Pittsburgh series is in Puerto Rico?
Cleveland. And it's the 17th.
Oh, you mean they're lining up for like 3 weeks in advance? That's bananas, guys.
Which is dumb because like they're gonna have a bunch of games snowed
out. Oh yeah, I mean that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Like first of all, it's not like he's their only player. There's probably 4 guys on the team from Puerto Rico. Like it, you know what I mean? It's not like they're going to Puerto Rico and like if they don't bring Jose Berrios, they're not gonna let them off the plane.
Yeah, but he's like their 23-year-old, you know, like up and coming.
The idea that you're making decisions. Would Bill Belichick make that decision? Well, I think Rob Gronkowski's from Arizona, so I think we're going to play him when we go to the Cardinals. That's dumb. All right, so we need a 92 opening day starter, 93, 94, 95,
92, it's got to be Kevin Erickson, no? Or Tappany? Why wouldn't it be Erickson?
One of the all two, right? So right?
John Smiley. I know they traded for John Smiley or signed him the year after.
Yeah, Smiley never did. Erickson's 92 and 95. Who's the guy you said in between?
Kevin
Tappany.
Yeah.
Yep, 93 and 94. That's pretty good. So you're missing 98 and you're missing 08, 09, 13, 14, 15. Oh, 11 through 15 you're missing.
I said Scott Baker.
Yeah, we put Baker in. Who'd you say? Francisco Liriano?
Yeah.
All right.
Blackburn.
In 1998.
Yeah, Liriano's 09. Like, this is like only got one out of Liriano.
What was it not? Was it not Brad Radke?
It was not.
Did you try Mike Redman?
Who?
Oh no, they had what was that
Mike
guy?
Redman.
Who was on the
Redmond.
Cardinals? Bob Tuke.
Not Mike Redman.
Oh,
the catcher.
Oh, they had a starter, Mike Redmond.
No.
With no D.
Oh, Redmond, because Mike Redmond was their opening day starting catcher in 2009.
Oh
yeah,
R E D M O N. Charlie
Bob Tuke was
M A N.
I don't even remember this guy, but no, he never started opening day.
Okay, he lost like 20 games in a season.
I don't. Tewksbury, I think would have been gone, but you know, in the post Morris era. No, you're right. 1998, Bob Tewksbury.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I knew he was on those. Were like,
yeah, that must have been a really bad Twins team if Bob Tewksbury. I was like, was Frank Tanana an opening day starter?
Frayton Addison, another player. He's a Brad Racky-esque player. He had a great career.
So 08 and then 11 through 15. You guys are missing like the opening they started for.
Phil Hughes.
Is he still in the majors or is he retired?
He's going to be in the bullpen this year for the
Twins.
Would
08 have not been Scott Baker?
I mean, he's definitely not there. Sporkle's never been wrong, guys.
Kevin Slowey?
Oh, Slowey. That's not a bad one. That's more recent, right?
No, they hate it. No, they always hate it, Slowey. They wouldn't.
It is weird that it's like, it's also, it's like this big honor.
Oh, you know who I bet? I bet Carlos Levon Hernandez.
Ooh,
was in there.
Levon.
Oh, yeah. He was.
Oh, and also, what's his name? The Mustache Man. Oh, what? The guy from the Marlins.
Only one
is,
Levon.
Oh, God.
Oh, Pavano.
Carl Pavano.
Carl
thank
Pavano.
You.
Wasn't that, who's Carl Pavano? 2010? Carl Pavano was the one who was always dating like models and actresses, right?
Alyssa Milano or something. Wasn't it Alyssa Milano?
I think so. And she's like a huge baseball fan. Yeah.
Not huge enough to know.
Right. Well, that's why she got divorced. She's like, wait, I could be married to like Johan and I'm married to Carl Pavano. All right. So we're missing 2013, 2014. We got the other ones.
Is Vance Worley?
That would be so sad if Vance Worley started opening day.
He was only on the team for like 5 minutes.
Charlie, you nailed it. 2013 opening day starter, Vance Worley.
I've been thinking about that, first of all, that's the saddest fact I've ever heard.
He was like, he's like the Phillies' fifth starter for a few years.
Well, what about when they signed Nolasco? Nolasco must have got a chance, right?
Yeah.
That was a really good pull, though, Charlie. I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
How
many starts
Ricky Nolasco 2014. I don't know. Sporkle doesn't link out to their baseball reference page. It's just Sporkle.
All right, who am I Googling here? Vance Worley.
Yeah. 2013.
Which season are we talking about?
The Worley season was, what'd you say? It was 13.
It was his only year on the team. He only pitched 48 innings that year. He only pitched 10 games. He had a 7.21 ERA.
That's great.
I'm not sure why he was.
All right, I'm just going to ask you a couple quick ones. I you think this is boring, but I think people like when you get stuff wrong, Chester, so they will like this. That Charlie kind of bested you here.
Yeah, he did.
2008, they're 7-8-9 with second base, shortstop, third baseman. Can you name any of them? Either of you guys.
Brendan Harris,
opening day second baseman.
Luis Castillo.
Oh, yeah. What was the name? Nick Punto.
It's the year after Castillo, Charlie. Or at least he wasn't.
Wait.
I think he was probably already on the Mets.
Orlando Hudson?
No Orlando Hudson.
Nick Punto.
Nope, Punto not an opening. Next year, Punto started.
On the right side of the infield? Oh, they were always signing mediocre third basemen who would suck for like a month and they'd cut them. Like these bad veterans for like $1 million.
Mike Lamb?
We're talking third base?
Yeah. Third base. Oh, yeah. I said second and third and short.
Oh.
So you got Harris.
Tony Batista.
Who'd you say?
That was another one.
Adam Tony Everett Batista, was did. Your Mike ninth Lamb hitter shortstop.
Adam Everett.
Mike That's Lamb,
Joe
the
Creedy.
Third, and Craig Monroe, the great Craig Monroe DHing and hitting sixth.
Yeah, Joe Creedy was another
next
one.
Next year, Creedy, was at third. Some real nobodies on this team. I forgot Rondell White.
Yeah, Rondell White in 2006 had a great second half of the season, I remember. But the first half of the season, he had like a 400.
2005, name your opening day DH.
Matt Lecroy?
No. No, Lecroy does not come around.
Was it not Bobby Keelty?
Lou Ford.
Lou Ford, that's a good one. Remember, Lou Ford was like amazing for like 6 weeks.
He had one good season. Yeah,
Lou Ford.
He was.
By the way, Lecroy was
there
before. That was not a bad guess. You know who's also underrated? Who was your opening day leadoff hitter 3 years in a row? Shannon Stewart was a really good player. I feel like history.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He almost got the MVP the year they traded for him in 04. He got a bunch of. He finished like fourth in the AL MVP.
What did he go like 38-42? Had some like insane 40-40-ish numbers. I'd say I recognize 98% of these names. Not. Your right fielder in 2003 was somebody named Dustin Moore, Jay's older brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dustin Moore and Bobby Keelty were the two-headed monster.
Louis Rivas
and then
a bunch
Kadire
of times.
Came in and
I mean, there are some dark days. Christian Guzman hit first or second
was
4 years in a row on opening day for you guys.
Well, Christian Guzman was an amazing player. He was an all-star until he got injured.
Brent Gates, your number two hitter in 1998.
Okay.
Never
and he's probably better than your number two hitter in 1999, who was Chad Allen.
Oh, I remember Chad Allen. You know why? Because he's a Twins announcer.
Alex Cole, your number two hitter in 95. And
he was a very
Scott
fast
Scott Laius, who was your shortstop and third baseman.
In the World Series. Yeah, him and Pagliarulo.
Well, Shane Mack. Shane Mack, that's a classic. See, everyone...
He's the most underrated. I would say Shane Mack is the most underrated player in history.
because if we didn't have advanced stats back then, but he had like he was better than Kirby Puckett. I got news to you. He had like an
we have him now. We see, and Scott Stowiak was a favorite of mine. I was also a Matt Lawton guy growing up, like starting playing fantasy in the '90s. He was kind of an underrated.
Yeah, he was solid.
Yeah, he was a bit before the Twins.
What is the Twins over under, Chester?
So the Twins over under is 82.5.
Okay. What are you thinking, Charlie? Is this team going to have a winning record? And have?
Well, I think with 57 games against the White Sox, Royals, and Tigers, that's 40 wins right there.
Those are the three worst teams in the AL,
I could,
by the way.
I could not believe today, over-unders. Charlie, that Jordan Zimmermann is starting opening day. I mean, Jordan Zimmermann, like...
he's no Vance Worley.
He's a 6 ERA guy now. He should not be in the majors anymore. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's absurd. But that's what happens.
And by the way, the Tigers don't even have the lowest over-under in the division.
Well, who has really? Lower?
The White Sox.
I think the White Sox are going to be third. I think they're going to have a good stretch, a hot month with their young guys, and they're going to be okay. But
yeah, I think the White Sox, I would take the over on the White Sox at 68, but I mean, I don't know if they're going to be okay. They're going to lose 90 games.
Yeah, probably right.
But, is there value in being second place in the AL Central with such a loaded AL East?
A loaded AL East. What are you talking about? There's two good teams.
That takes away two guaranteed playoff spots, and then
West.
This is
how the American League is working this year. There's three incredible teams, which is Cleveland, Houston, and the Yankees. Right? There's three teams who can win 100 games. Then there's like a drop, and then you have the Red Sox, all in their own class, and they can win. You know, 90
Red Sox need another pitcher. And then there's a but they're other than that, they're in the same.
Well, maybe David Price is that other pitcher. So. I don't. I mean, last year they're pitching. Their problem last year was their hitting.
I don't think that's going to be an issue,
right? And then they just added JD
Martinez.
Did
get
hurt, so I'm not worried about
that. I just think like the natural improvement from Devers and Benintendi and all these guys. Bogaerts, like, they can't get worse. Betts, they're so loaded. Also, it's crazy.
They have Hanley Ramirez coming off the bench.
Well, Hanley
kind
of stinks, but yes, that is impressive.
Hey, he's
as
on
a bench
my
player
league
goes,
team.
He's
show some
good.
Respect. So the AL is really weird because you're really top heavy. You have three teams that are, you know, that all should win the World Series. Then you have the Red Sox. And then after that, like, the second wild card is wide open. So the Twins are probably the leaders in the clubhouse right now. I mean, it's the Angels they're competing with. And then, anybody can win 85 games. It's not that hard to win 85 games. So in theory, you know, you could see Seattle do it. You could see Texas do it. You could see, I don't know, the Blue Jays do it or somebody. But to me, like, the Twins are definitely the leaders in the clubhouse to get that second wild card. Now, what's that worth? One game in Boston or, you know, like last season, one game in New York in October is, not much. But, I think 82.5, I would definitely take the over.
Yeah, I mean, you've sold me just because the division is so
bad. I took the under on the Twins.
Like, the more I've researched today.
Here's the thing. I took the under on the Twins like 4 or 5 years in a row. But, you know, they're pitching. This is the difference. The Twins do not have a number one or number two starter by any stretch of the imagination. They do not have a pitcher who anybody's afraid of.
No, but everyone here, right. But you're
what
built through
the
season. Everyone here is sort of a three or four.
Yeah. They have a bunch of number three starters, which is an improvement on last year when they had a bunch of number seven starters. And they still somehow made the playoffs. Now, Irvin Santana had
what about
like a
the bullpen, Charlie?
Helpful, obviously.
I think it's going to be good. They improved in the second half last season, and now the guys that we thought might have to be the setup man and the closer, like Taylor Rogers and Trevor Hildenberger, are now going to be the sixth inning guys. Because Rodney, Duke, and Reed, I think will
I mean, Rodney, you're
going
to lose hair from
numbers.
Rodney. Like, Rodney is a nightmare to root for.
Well, yeah, that's what everybody says, but... pro tip, look at his splits last season. Look at his numbers last year, okay?
I'm not looking at them. Just read them to me.
I'll tell you what they are. In April, he had a 1260 ERA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? The rest of the season, he had a sub-2 ERA.
I'll take it.
So that's the thing. Like, a closer only pitches 50 or 60 innings. So if you give up, you know, 15
No, it is true. Getting shelled twice really does, I don't know what the best closer
is. Now, that having been said... I don't love Rodney. He's also what, like 40 years old. But Addison, because Paul Molitor is such sort of an old school guy and like adheres to like strict bullpen usage, I would rather Rodney be the closer because I'd rather use Addison Reed, who's probably their
Addison
best
Reed is like
in
Mr.
Eighth
Inning
situation.
He's become He's become like the eighth inning guy. I feel like he's like too good for the eighth, but not really good enough for the ninth. Like when he's your closer, which always happens when your closer gets hurt.
But you're missing my point. You don't want your best pitcher to be your closer. You want your best pitcher to
by,
pitch
by
in the most
accident. He's in a preferable role, even though Molitor is lost. Do you hate Molitor also, Charlie?
The same way with the Indians.
I like Molitor.
It's the same way with the Indians, right?
Andrew Miller is clearly their best. Is clearly right. The best relief pitcher, right? But Cody Allen gets the
right.
Six.
But I think they know that Miller is their most talented pitcher. I don't think there's like any debate in there.
Yeah, because you see how they use him in the postseason. Well, Francona's yes. a better man, yeah, a much better manager than Paul Molitor.
What do you like about Molitor, Charlie? I don't, because Chester has no respect for him.
He's a Minnesotan.
I just, well, that doesn't hurt. I think that Molitor, he's, I don't know if he's good in game as other managers. I think his bullpen use leaves something to be desired. But I think there is sort of a steady hand that he provides. And I think the way the hitters all improved so much last year.
So you think actually having like an actual, like a person who is overqualified to be the hitting coach, like actually has like tangible value. Because like the Mets have you know, when the Mets had Terry Collins or the Terry Collins of the world, there's, you know, 12 of them in baseball where it's like, they might be a good clubhouse manager. I mean, eventually everyone sort of loses the clubhouse, but like there's very little wisdom they can impart. And then if you can't handle the bullpen, like what's your purpose other than you're essentially like a highly paid babysitter? So you're saying Molitor has value even if he's right. not like an X's and O's expert.
Yeah, I think so. We saw guys like Buxton and Rosario grow as hitters last year, hitting to opposite field, you know, not swing for the fences every time. And I think a 3,000 career hitter like Molitor is going to.
You think Buxton might become like a real superstar this year?
I would say yes.
Yeah, I think he could break out.
Akiva, he was top 10 in the league last year in WAR when he batted under 200 up until the
All-Star. No, I agree. I asked it because I think he will be. I think there's a chance that he absolutely explodes this year, and onto the Nationals.
He's the kind of guy on the field. He's the kind of guy, if he bats 270 with 15 home runs, he can still be a superstar because he's the best defensive, you know, he's so good on defense and he's so good on the base paths
that, you know, any offense is really just gravy.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I wanted to say to you. Minnesotans love Minnesotans more than anybody else loves people from their state. Especially,
I would never root for someone on the Jets because they were from New York. That would be absolutely insane.
But you realize, like, New York. Everybody in Minnesota, like, for example, Tyus Jones, the Twins, Timberwolves backup point guard, the reason he's from Minnesota, and so people like him there more than Jeff Teague. Now, his advanced numbers are actually really good, and Jeff Teague's are not. But that's why, like, when Chris Dunn was gone, we were like, oh, good riddance. Tyus is better anyway. You look at Twins history, every single player from Minnesota, first of all, we drafted Joe Mauer ahead of, what was the pitcher for the Cubs?
Mark Pryor.
Yeah, and ahead of Mark Pryor, purely because he was from Minnesota. Now, in hindsight, that one worked out, obviously. But Mark Pryor was the number one prospect that year, and Joe Mauer was number two. Anyways, other than him and Ken Herbeck, like the guys who are from Minnesota and play their whole careers in Minnesota, if you're a Hall of Fame baseball player who played your career anywhere else, like Dave Winfield or Paul Molitor or Jack Morris, you have to come home and play in Minnesota. It's like a requirement.
Crazy that there's so much state Terry pride Steinbach. For a state that all you guys like leave the second year, you know, you finish high school and never come back.
Well, I leave. Most people don't.
Is that true? You grew up in Minnesota, and you, like, would you say from your high school class, like, most people left or most people stay?
I would say most people stay.
Yeah, Akiva, I mean, I will say this, like, I know, like, when it comes to, so Minnesota, the University of Minnesota has a very good law school, but it's not, you know, it's not like an Ivy League school. It's usually
that
like
was,
around
that was an
so
Ivy League
rankings.
Law student sniffing his nose at the University of Minnesota's law school.
Well, no. I'm doing the opposite. I'm about to compliment Minnesota. The reason I know this is because, like, when I, like, Minnesota, like, when they sent me, like, the application, like, the recruiting stuff for law school, they had
a. Let me guess, they wanted to pay you to go there.
No. Their argument is that the reason Minnesota is only the 20th best law school in the country is because Minnesota is such a great place to live that Minnesotan people go to University of Minnesota for law school and then stay there, so they don't go back to New York to work in law firms there to be at like top firms, which would therefore sort of raise its reputation. So the way that – so they actually – they gave
That's
a stat,
like such a stay
I remember in their
stat,
little brochure.
Like, I love that spin zone.
No, but yeah. Oh, it's complete. No, I know. I don't know if it's accurate, but anyways. But what the stat that they had was they showed the percentage of alumni of the University of Minnesota who were working in the state of Minnesota 10 years later. and relative to the percentage of alumni at every other school, like what percentage of graduates from Harvard are in Massachusetts, or what graduates of Columbia mm-hmm. are in New York, or what percentage of Georgia. And so Minnesota had the highest. So the argument was, like, the problem with Minnesota is it's so great that nobody leaves, so nobody outside of Minnesota knows how great it is.
Oh, so that's a hidden gem. You shouldn't tell anybody. It's like going to, like, this great great beach, and, like, if you tell people, it'll get super popular.
Yeah, but I left. I mean,
you could come. I'm sure, like, when things fail for you, Chester, when your wife kicks you out and, like, maybe gets a restraining order, like, at some point you will probably have to end up back in Minnesota.
Yeah, but would they?
I don't think you're welcome back in the state either. But the Minnesota and Wisconsin famously have reciprocity with each other, so maybe you'll go move to, like, Appleton, Wisconsin, or something.
Yeah, I think Iowa's involved in it also. At least for, like, in-state tuition, I think. All right.
Anything else to discuss, guys? Are we good?
Wait, Akiva, are we doing our, like, general baseball preview or no?
I don't know. We'll see if we have time.
Charlie's a baseball
fan. Yeah, Charlie.
Why doesn't Charlie
you want to do our overall baseball preview?
Sure. Why not?
Okay, so let's do this. I will say the over-under for each team, and Charlie and Akiva, you quickly give me an
over-under.
Okay,
perfect.
Or an under,
yes.
Okay?
Okay.
We will
Charlie,
start,
you go first,
the
so we
way
don't
that
talk
everybody
over
does.
Each other.
We will start in the American League Central, which is how all standings and all newspapers.
This is the stupidest argument I've ever heard. Charlie, are you whatever the opposite of egocentric, like understanding of other people enough to know that, like, in the average newspaper, the standings don't start with, like, the city you live in?
No, of course, everybody starts with the AL Central. It makes the most sense. It's the middle of the country. Why? Okay, fine. All right, Akiva, we'll start at the AL East. All right, or do you need
to start?
I don't
care. I really don't care where we start.
Okay. All right. We'll start in the NL. Okay, so we'll start with the Washington Nationals, 92.5. Charlie, you going over or under?
Wait, 90 what and a half, sir?
92.5 for the Washington Nationals.
I'm saying over.
It's a really high number, and I feel like they're going to have less motivation than any other team because they'll probably have locked up the division on, like, September 10th or something. So I'm going to go under. But 92.5 is a high number for a team that has nothing to play for in the last 2 weeks of the season, possibly.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's a reasonable argument. I'm going to side with Charlie, though. I'm going to take the over. And by the way, Charlie, if you beat us, you come back on the
podcast. That's a punishment. If you beat us, you never have to contact.
Okay, fine. All right. Next, we have the New York Mets over under 81. Charlie, what's
I'm saying over.
Oh, confident on the Mets. And Akiva, you're obviously going over.
Yeah, well, I already went over when we were discussing with Rob. Yeah. I said 83 and 79.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm putting all my money on that under.
Oh, that's such a troll.
No, I thought 81 was. I thought you know what? The Mets are going to go 78 and 84, and it's going to be a good season.
Look at their rotation. It's good.
Yeah, it was good last year also. Now, Syndergaard was in.
Yeah, Syndergaard barely pitched. Well, he is their rotation.
Yeah. You know what? Some of us have Syndergaard on our team and succeed despite his injury.
The Mets are not one of them.
Yeah. Charlie, I won our fantasy baseball league last year despite having Noah Syndergaard as my ace.
Are you a fantasy guy, Charlie? Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Not a good
one. Let's say you were able to trade baseball with with basketball. What if somebody traded? Are you a basketball fan? Someone's like, hey, I'll give you Russell Westbrook. Give me, like, the Nationals' fourth starter and Wade Davis, who's now pitching in Coors Field. In, like, a mixed sport fantasy league.
I would take Russell Westbrook.
Okay, yes. But if somebody made that trade, you, like, cease trusting them for the rest of the time?
Yeah.
Okay, just asking. Just hypothetical.
All right, Philadelphia Phillies, 75.5 is the over-under.
Under.
I mean, they make these numbers for a reason. To me, like, I would pick 75 or 76 wins. I just think more wrong can go, like, Hoskins could fall back to earth. Arrieta could be bad in the bandbox of a ballpark. Like, I'm going under.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take the over there because somebody has to be decent in this division. all right, Atlanta, 74.5. Charlie?
I'm going to say slightly over.
Yeah, I'm going under. I think they're going to win, like, 70 games.
Yeah, I'm going under. To me, that one's way too high. Like, what are people seeing in Atlanta?
I think there's a lot of money being put on.
Yeah, people are too excited about that. Like, how many wins could he be worth?
First of all, he started.
He's not even in the majors.
Now, he will be in 2 weeks, obviously. But, yeah. Okay, all right. And then finish off the division. Derek Jeter's beloved Miami Marlins, 64.5.
got to take the under.
Wow.
You know, really there is, like, we just talked about Bora. Like, there is some talent there, but just not enough pitching. 64.5 is an insanely low number. Right. I'm going over just because it's too low, but they're going to stink.
I'm going over also, yeah, just... Anytime you have a number like below 65, or
you're like betting 96. On a team to be historically bad. Like teams are never as bad as you think you're going to be. They're...
Yeah. Well, no, somebody who's going to win
someone will,
games
but like
year,
guaranteeing but, a team will win 63 games to me is a bridge too far.
Yeah, just yeah. The range, like, there's a scenario where the Marlins win 75. There's no scenario where they correct. Win 55. So yeah, it's, I mean, much harder to
they,
get.
What do they have? Cameron Maybin, right. Starlin Cat. Like, they have legitimate, you know, like major leaguers. They're not a joke.
Yeah, notwithstanding Derek Jeter.
No, I mean, Jeter will get rid of them. Like, Jeter is beyond the cup. They will be gone.
All right, the Chicago Cubs at 94.5.
Yeah, too low, too high. They're going to be great, but that's too high.
Yeah, I agree. And it's kind of what Akiva said with the Nationals. Like, what are they competing for? Like, you know, they're going to win this division by at least, you know, a half dozen games. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we all agree. That's the first one that we all agree with the under. All right, next is the St. Louis Cardinals at 85.5.
Oh, I'm going to go under.
Yeah, this is a strong number because it's 85 and 77 would be my pick for them. I'm also going to go under. It's not a big-time upside team. People rely on, like, the Cardinals' mystique too much. If you just looked at this lineup on paper, there's not that much going on.
Yeah. No, I mean, also, to me, it's like they're not the second-best team in the division. Milwaukee is. It's not like baseball. It's not football. Where
and
like
Cincinnati is getting better. Really. Like, you know, the division isn't like is competitive. Like, I you know.
All right, so that's another consensus pick. All right, let's get to Milwaukee at 84.5.
I'll take slightly over.
I'm going to go under. To me, I agree Milwaukee's fine, but like if they went 83-79, that would be a good year, and I don't know how much better they can get.
To me, Milwaukee is kind of like the Twins of the NL. Like, they're clearly the best team among the non-great teams to me. So I think they're, like, the leader in the clubhouse for, like, that second wild card, for example. Or maybe
I mean, can Travis Shaw keep up what he did last year? I feel like he hasn't in the past. Can Domingo Santana keep up what he did last year?
Yeah, but they added several pieces.
But everything, you know, VR fell off an absolute cliff last season.
Yeah. Yeah, but Ryan Braun also, I think, gets.
Braun probably does. I am kind of bullish on Braun, to be honest. I do think he has he doesn't have many more good years left, but I do think he'll have a good year.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to be on Charlie's side. I'll take the over, but not by much. I think, 85, 86 wins probably. The Cincinnati Reds at 73.5.
Just under, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm going over. I think they're getting better. I think this is a team on the upswing.
Yeah. I'm going to say they're going to finish last. Well, I don't know, them or Pittsburgh. I'll take the under because you got to pick one team to suck.
What's your opinion on Billy Hamilton? Yeah.
Me?
No, Charlie? I mean, I guess.
I guess.
I know. Team. I just like he's not a major league hitter. Like this, he's like if Tim Tebow was really fast.
There was an article on Fangraphs that actually had a brilliant idea, which would never ever ever happen. But basically, and I think. It wouldn't work just because your roster isn't constructed this way, but I think in September it would work, and in September they should do it, that Billy Hamilton should not start the game. He should start on the bench, and he should pinch run for the first guy to get on base for your team.
Oh, so he's guaranteed because one time on base?
Exactly. So he would have about 120 fewer plate appearances over the course of the season, which is a net positive for the team, but he would have about 100 more times on base, which means more stolen bases.
Oh, I'm sure Joey Votto would love getting taken out of in the first inning of many games.
Well, you're not going to take out Joey Votto, obviously. Okay, you're not going to.
You just said the first time someone gets on base. Like, a lot of times that's Votto.
Okay, but use your brain. You're not going to bench the best player.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure, like, the guy who gets taken out, whose agent is Scott Boras, won't, like, burn down the Red Stadium the first time that happens.
Okay, but you have some mediocre guy in your lineup who's getting out a single in the
Zach
second
Cozart
inning.
Zach is going insane if that happens.
Again, not Zach Cozart. It's the
guys
so
the first
Reds
time
name,
the eighth hitter gets a two-out single in the bottom. You're going to take out the
I
freaking
would say
catcher.
No. The first time, like other than like their three, like not Scooter.
Oh,
Gennett,
so not like
Joey
the six
Votto,
best
Zach
guys
Zach
in the
Cozart.
Lineup. So very specifically, when one guy who never gets on base gets on base.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
but he gets on base higher
Charlie,
than Billy Hamilton.
I feel like there's
bats,
some holes in this plan. But we could maybe workshop it.
But Akiva, but Billy Hamilton bats leadoff and has like a 290 OPS.
No, I just said he sucks. I brought him up. But like your idea, I don't know if it's great.
But you put him on the base path.
Teach him how to catch, and then he becomes like a very, you know, a plus major leaguer.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Pittsburgh 73 is their over under.
What a boring team.
They can pitch a little bit though. So I'll put him over.
All right. What about you, Akiva?
I'm not a Tylan guy. The Corey Dickerson thing was one of the great, there were a lot of like steals late in the offseason, but Dickerson is like a 280, gets on base, 28 to 30 home run hitter, and the Rays literally cut him. Like he was available for free. So to me, their outfield, Polanco, Marte, and Dickerson is really, really good. And I'm high on Bell. The rotation kind of stinks though. So what's the number, 73 and a half?
73 even.
I mean, I'm going over, but that their pitching could really suck.
So we have another consensus. I'm going to take the over. Not a lot of confidence. It's sort of a toss-up between them and Cincy, but you can't go over on both like Akiva did because one of them is going to suck. So
right.
Because, you know, Milwaukee and St. Louis and Chicago are all pretty good teams. So, all right, let's get to the NL West. We'll start with the Dodgers. 96.5. Huge number.
I'm saying under.
Yeah, and they don't have a lot of holes. Like, I mean, I don't know what they're doing at second base, but Seager, Bellinger, Puig, Taylor, Jock Peterson, like, and then Kershaw, Hill.
And we all watch the World. We all watch the World Series.
Like, there's just no holes. I'm just like looking around. There's Alex Wood is their third starter. He's really good.
Fangraphs has them winning 104 games.
I hate 96.5. Like, if we were betting just like five spreads in Vegas, this might not be one of them. But I'm going over.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under, like Charlie said. It's too high. It's too high a number. Like,
right.
Teams
don't have motivation late in the year to win 100 games necessarily. Like, you'd rather rest your players.
Yeah, they're not going to be in a big race again, as we said. It's the only division, really, that looks like, and obviously a lot will change, but the only division that looks like it has two 90-plus win teams, I would say, is the AL East with the Red Sox and Yankees.
Yeah.
You don't think the Diamondbacks can repeat last season?
Well, let's talk about them. So they're 85.5. So you're taking the over?
I'd take the over on that. They can pitch so well.
Yeah. Kiva?
You go first on the Diamondbacks. Let me take a gander at their roster.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over because to me, I think they're probably going to be the – I think I'm picking them in Milwaukee for the wild cards. So I think that they can win 86, 87, 88 games, but I don't know if they're going to win 90-plus.
You know, I'm very high on Godley. I hate Corbin, and I'm really nervous about Greinke this year.
Yeah, I'm very nervous about Greinke, and I think I also picked him in our league, but I'm nervous on him.
So what's the number for the Diamondbacks? 83?
85.5. Okay, all right, so you got the under there. And then 82 is the number for the Rockies, who spent more money on their bullpen than, you know, Gettleman spends on backup running backs.
Do they – who's their closer now?
It's Wade Davis.
Remember Wade Davis for Russell Westbrook.
Or as I like to call him, half of Russell Westbrook. Yeah. Call him Russie West.
I'm going to take the under on them, though. I think their offense – I mean, obviously, they play in Colorado, so they can hit home runs when they're at home. And they did well on the road last year, but I think we're going to see some regression there.
Yeah, I mean, they're starting Cargo's court. They're starting a guy, Ryan McMahon, who I really don't know much about at first. I don't love the rotation, which you could probably say every year since 1993. You know, the left side of the infield. I think Story's going to be really good this year. I think Story's going to, you know, really make a big leap. So Blackman, Arenado, and you know, and if Story's good, like not a lot of teams have that with Lemmy who's setting them up. What's the number? That's too 82. High. I'm going under. Rockies were built to go 81.
All right, I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take the over. This is such a weird situation because Greg Holland had a great season last year, 41 saves, a 3.60 ERA, which is, you know, a 1.40 ERA plus by, you know, because he's in Colorado. And then his team did not get the memo to hold off a little bit and see how the, you know, the offseason was developed. They went and just spent a huge amount of money on multiple relievers. And so they didn't really have a need for Holland. But because he's got this, like, compensatory pick attached, no one else wanted to sign him. So it's like the season's starting in 2 days and Greg Holland is still unemployed, isn't he?
I think so.
It's crazy. And he can't go back. He's going to have to go back to Colorado with his tail between his legs, and he's going to get like $5 million. But like nobody else is going to sign him. And he's going to be like a seventh inning guy.
Some big market team's going to lose their closer early in the season, and their fans are going to make them panic.
So does the compensatory pick take, like, does that, like, if he doesn't sign until like 2024?
I don't know. It's never happened before. Does it expire at some point? I don't. It's a good question that
Well, because I'm wondering, if he doesn't get a job until May or June, I think so. Do they still get a pick? What if it's after the draft? Wow. What if you don't sign him until the day after the draft?
But he won't get paid as much.
Yeah. I mean, he can't be unemployed till then. But, I mean, it's crazy. He's definitely a good pitcher. But all right. So, San Francisco's at 81.5. Keeve and I both said already we're taking the under. This is silly. They don't have any healthy pitchers. What are we doing?
Yeah, with Bumgarner out, you got to go under, I think.
Yeah. And Samardzija is out also.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, again, it is an even year, so we know what that means for the San Francisco Giants. Right. All right. And then San Diego is the last team, 69.5. San Diego, one of three true baseball towns in America.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Because they have no other team at this point.
So that's a low number, but Hosmer's a little overrated.
A little.
I'm just going to say under.
Yeah.
It's a good division, too. So.
Why is the team's two best players both first basemen when there's no DH in the NL? Like, what is the plan there?
Right. It's bad.
Under.
Keeva, what do you say? Yeah. I just don't. I mean, like, they already had Will Myers, and it just, I don't understand what they were doing. And it was a contract that you signed in any other offseason, not this one. I'm going to say over because I think that San Francisco's going to be the worst team in the division. I think that it was a bad contract, but I still think that, you know, I think they're a little better than last year. So, Akiva, I just want to point out you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. You have 11 unders in the National.
The league is not going, 500 this year. Everyone's going to. What if AL just totally feasts in interleague play?
All right, yeah. So let's jump to the AL now. We're going to go west to east this time. So we're going to start with Houston, which is the best team in baseball probably. What do you say, Charlie? 96.5, a huge number, same as the Dodgers.
I'm going to say under, maybe not the most. I mean, that's a big number, like you said. But
yeah.
I think Seattle, Anaheim are both going to be better than last year. And Texas is Texas, so they'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm going over. I hate the big numbers, but to me, there's no reason to bet against Houston.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie has a good point. Like, this is the only division that doesn't have any team with an over-under below 74.5. So there's no, like,
right,
garbage team to beat up on. But you know what? Every team is a garbage team compared to Houston. I mean, Houston came and played the Twins last year after the All-Star break, and this is when the Twins were on a run. And in three games, they outscored the Twins by, like, 33 runs or something. It was like a high school team playing against a major league baseball team. So I'm terrified of them. I'm going to take the over. Next is the Angels, 84.5. Last year, they were the Twins' closest competition for that fifth wildcard spot. Now they add Shohei Ohtani, who may not be any good.
Yeah, I'm going to say under on that one because even if Ohtani does pitch well, he's only pitching once every 6 days.
Yeah.
And the rest of their rotation is crap. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were on to the Ohtani scam before it got trendy. Let's be fair. We were. We were not.
Well, I just thought he should.
Well, that's. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm going under for the Angels.
Yeah, 84.5 to me is a bonkers number. Like, they're a 500 team, and like if they win 81 games, that's a decent season. Yeah, I don't know why they're getting all that extra advantage. All right, Seattle's at 81.5.
Over.
Keith.
81.5 for Seattle. I'm going under. Predicting a big year from Ryan Healy. Ryan with an O.
Oh, yeah.
Did Felix Hernandez's sort of disappearance from elite pitcher to sort of like at pitcher happen quieter than
everything with the Mariners happens quietly.
His elite
status.
Oh. Yeah, his elite status was quiet. So.
Yeah, but I mean, but even among baseball fans, like all of a sudden he's like, it's not like he's injured. He's still pitching every fifth
day. Yeah, he's just bad.
And he's not that old. He was a no doubt Hall of Famer, and now I don't think he gets in. I mean, you know, unless he has some kind of renaissance.
He was on the DL like 4 times in the last 2 years.
It could be injuries, he's never coming back in terms of being like that level of player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Then Texas is 77.5.
Under.
I'm going over with the Rangers.
Yeah. Any reason why or. You got
to
go over.
Well, no, yeah, you bullied me. You bullied me into going over teams. No, I like their lineup. Their rotation stinks. I think Hamels is probably shot. But everyone in their lineup brings something. Like, Andrews has started hitting for power. Oder's not going to hit 205 again. Mazar is underrated. The Shields is kind of a good player. Joey Gallo, by the way, it is insane that they have two guys who hit 205 in the lineup. that Oder and Gallo are just like out there every day, like either hitting a home run or striking out. I mean, eventually Beltre is going to be bad, yeah. but it's a really tough lineup. That's the type of team you go to Texas for 3 days and it's like a nightmare. You're like, oh, shoot, I can't, like, I just want to win one of these and get at, yeah, it's really, it's a nightmare. And yeah. Everyone
they hit a lot
runs.
Of home runs.
They're a really tough team to play. I'm going over.
All right, I'm going to take the under. I don't really like their pitching. And yeah. All right. And then Oakland at 74.5. The highest.
I think the under because they're Oakland.
Division. Yeah.
Keith? I'm going under. Oakland's bad.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. Like, you need somebody in a division yeah. to be bad.
Yes.
Right? And it seems like it's Oakland, but I've taken under for three teams in this division already. I'm not
the designated hitter who maybe had a career year last year. Like, who's the best player on this team?
Well, I mean, they won
75 games. Yeah, but who's the best player on the team?
So if they repeat that, it's an over.
Who is the best player on the Oakland A's? Like, who are they building around?
Matt Chapman.
I guess maybe Olson. I mean, Olson might have been a fluke. It kind of came out.
Semien's
yeah,
okay.
I mean, the truth is Olsen was basically Shane Spencer, but for 2 months last year, and he's really young. He just turned 23. He's turning 24 this week. I mean,
who's their best pitcher? Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe Santiago Casilla, the closer.
And Jarrell Cotton's
good.
It's
not a great rotation. It's not a great outfield. This team's not good.
All right, I'm calling an audible. I was going to take the over, but I'm going the under, which is four consecutive unders for me now, so I'm turning into Keith.
You're just way over on Houston.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Houston won 120 games or something like that. All right. Okay, the New York Yankees, Greg Birdless at first base. But, this is a team that they were in the wild card last year, but their Pythagorean theorem, I think, was 101 or something like that last year.
Yeah.
Like, they had really bad luck, which is weird since they had such a good bullpen.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, what's their number?
94.5.
I'm going to say over. That offense can't be denied with Stanton and Judge.
Yeah. I mean, everybody. Sanchez, he could hit 40 home runs as a catcher.
Right. Ridiculous. Especially with more protection in the lineup.
Yeah. Bird, if he was healthy, would have hit 30 home runs.
I mean, there's almost like no way to judge them because if Stanton and Judge, no pun intended, and Sanchez are healthy, like there's almost, other than like the 1927 Yankees, like there's almost never been something like this. Like,
how many home runs can they hit as a team? 260?
I'm going to talk about individual players. Like, Stanton's being projected by a lot of people in the 50s, which you never see. Even like, they're always conservative. Like, it's always like he's projected to lead the league with 41, 42. 50, I've never seen it in my life. Yeah. Maybe in the 98. You know, 99, Maguire, Sosa.
Who has him in legal leagues, Kiva?
Who has him in legal leagues? Stanton? You do, although Aaron Judge got picked in the 54th round. So maybe people shouldn't pick like an eighth backup running
back. Yeah, because Aaron Judge came out of nowhere last year. Yeah.
The Rangers being a nightmare to play. Like, this is the type of team that you're absolutely going to be, you know, and then they throw Betances and Chapman and Robertson at the end of the games.
Yeah. You know who it's a bigger nightmare for? The Twins, who are like, you know, have a
team. Don't go to any Twins Yankees games this year. That would be punishment.
Except the crazy thing is my son, when he's at the game, the Twins have won three in a row. The Twins record in Yankee Stadium over the last 5 years is like 4-17, and my son has won three of them. And
I think the Yankees should have to play without a third baseman. That's because they don't really have one. Yeah, I'm going
over. All right, so are you taking the over at 94.5? Yeah, I mean, so I'm taking the over for all the three best teams in the AL because I just think they're so good. All right, the Boston Red Sox are 91.5.
I'll say over.
Keith?
I mean, I do think other than the Rays, this is going to be like a division you get beat up a lot. I'm not high on Price. But, you know, their only
problem last year was power.
Yeah, no, the young...
And they got a
Jay
bunch
Martinez
of hitters,
and like the five young killer bees or whatever, and D, I'm going over. Pedroia is like the worst player on their team.
The only thing is like they're gonna have, I would say, a 4 or 5 game cushion over the Twins with a week to go.
I love your incredibly specific prediction. 6 months in advance.
But what I'm saying is, but this is what you were saying before. unless they're in a race with the Yankees, which I don't think they will be, they're going to have no reason down the stretch. Like, what does it matter to them if they win 90 games or if they win 94 games?
Doesn't matter.
Right? Right.
That's why these over-unders are
rotation for the playoffs. Yeah, so it's a bit risky, but I'll take the over. But yeah, but it's tough to take the over on two teams in the same division, mm-hmm. you know, in the 90s. So.
Well, the Orioles are in their division, so.
Yeah. All right, the Toronto Blue Jays are at 81. Charlie?
Under.
Keith?
I have them right about, they feel kind of like old this year. I mean, Tulo's going to be back eventually. Granderson, I think, is starting for them. It's just not an exciting team.
This sounds like an
argument. Yeah, no, I'm going under. Like, to me, they're just like looking at their lineup bores me.
Unless it's the 2009 All-Star team.
I really don't like their lineup. Their pitching has some upside.
Yeah. Donaldson is the one guy in the
lineup. Yeah, it seemed like they had four Donaldsons 2 years ago, and now they're, you know, Batista's gone. And
It's crazy. Like, that year when Toronto and Oakland, remember, were like in that great. Those teams are both really
good. I used to be, like, the big Kendry Morales stan, but at this point, he's replacement level.
Yeah, Twins had a little run with him. It was worthless. All right, Tampa, 77.5. They're getting rid of everybody, but they always seem to win somehow.
And they can still pitch pretty well.
They didn't Archer, get rid of Archer.
To me, Archer is, like, the most overrated guy in baseball.
He became overrated because
yeah, people are like he's an ace. Like, so the guy has he ever hit a 3 ERA even? I mean, people are high on Snell this year. I really like Faria. I would not want to be a young pitcher pitching in the AL East. But you know, if they get to play like the A's or an NL team, like Faria is going to put up some numbers, I think.
But it really made no sense. Why do you cut Logan Morrison?
They cut Morrison and Dickerson for nothing.
2 weeks.
Yeah, that was Morrison Dickerson would hit cleanup for like a lot of teams or fifth.
I mean, those were Jeter-esque
moves. I agree. It's all the Florida teams are basically collapsing. I think Carlos Gomez actually weirdly has a really big year if he stays healthy for Tampa. He hasn't been able to stay on the field. I'm high on him. And I think CJ Cron has a really big year at first. He was never really able to get a shot at the Angels first base job. But other than that, I mean, Colome to me is in a little bit over his head as a closer. He's always a roller coaster. I'm going under.
And Charlie, what did you say again?
I'm going to take under.
All right. I'll take the over just because, again, every year they pull it out of their butts. And all the advanced sites, by the way, Baseball Prospectus, Fangraphs, they all have them winning 80 games. So
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. I'll rely on those guys. All right. And then Baltimore at 73.
That's pretty low, but I'm still going to take under.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kiva.
That's really about where you should have them, right? I'm just looking at, like, I like the Cobb, Bundy. Do you think
Yeah, but listen, they're playing 40 games.
I mean, so many guys on that team. How many of those are there? The middle infield is amazing, right? Shoop is one of the most underrated guys in the league. Machado's incredible. But, like, Trumbo, does he have anything left? Colby Rasmus, any of these
guys. Are they even going to keep Machado all year? You don't think?
Yeah, Machado's going to get traded.
You don't think there's a chance to trade him?
Of course there's a chance they trade him, but again, if, like...
Yeah.
I'm going under.
You know, you don't get your money back on your over-under bet because the trade their star players.
Well, again, if you're making us pick 30, it wouldn't be one of my best bets. My best bet is the Mets over.
Is there any chance that because the Yankees got Stanton, they won't also get Machado? Or are we
if the Yankees get Machado, like, I feel like the commission has to step in, like Chris Paul style.
Baseball reasons? Can I ask a question, Kiva? Would mid-season, Mets rotation doing well, but their offense not so great?
Well, pretend you're the Orioles. What trade are you making?
Wow.
I don't know enough about the Mets.
Oh, well, so the Mets don't have any. They don't really. They promoted their two best guys last year. Amed Rosario is actually starting at short.
Okay.
And Dominic Smith, who will probably pretty soon start at first base. And everyone else is really low down. Couple guys with Tommy John. There aren't a lot of people who don't have anybody not in the majors who could get them Manny Machado at this point, to be honest.
Okay, no future ace.
No, not even close. I mean, are you interested in Tim Tebow? He's starting at Binghamton.
Okay. yeah, there you go.
Sell some tickets at your at New Britain or wherever the heck the Orioles Double A team plays. Where's the Orioles? It would have to be for DeGrom, and we're not giving up DeGrom for Machado. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
For 2 months of Machado. Yeah. All right. So, Akiva, let me ask you this. Akiva, you made a promise that you would keep watching sports. if a 16-1, you reneged on that. Can I get you on this podcast right now to make a commitment that if the 2019 New York Yankees lineup includes Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Manny Machado, and Bryce Harper, that you will quit, that you will stop
baseball?
You
will never watch baseball. I will never watch a game with those players. Can I say that?
Well, then
you'll
never
watch
a
good All-Star team.
Game,
that's like,
oh, the AL was great in 2019.
I mean, we were talking about how this is the 27 Yankees, and that's before they hypothetically had Bryce Harper, the best player in the National League.
I don't think,
and Manny Machado, you know, one of the.
I don't think the Red Sox would let it. I don't think, like, it just.
Where would they even put Harper in there?
I mean, that's a problem you'd sort of figure. And by the way, I think I wouldn't even bother with Harper. Machado plays a position which is not replaceable. Harper is just like, I mean, he's much better than the other players, but it's so easy to find a guy who could hit 280 with like 28 home runs in corner outfield now. I wouldn't even bother with Harper compared to Machado.
Yeah, but he plays center.
No, not I, to me, is Machado's playing another sport than Harper at this point. Harper needs to make one more lead.
Yeah. Okay, all right. All right, let's finish this off. The AL Central, the Cleveland Indians at 94.5.
I'll take over.
Yeah. Peeve.
Over.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is a high number, but to me it's way too low because the Indians are really, really – I mean, their pitching is out of this world. Even if, like, they don't get an MVP season out of Jose Martinez, which I think came out of nowhere last year. Like, they're still like
– I think Kipnis has a better year. Whatever. I think Zimmer takes a leap. Yeah, Brantley can't be much worse.
Well, Brantley, the question is always health.
I mean, Edwin could have a good year. Like, they're just stacked.
But look, Jose Ramirez almost set the
– Jose Ramirez, I think it's so beyond those unsustainable, but who cares?
Oh, he has to regress. But you know what? Francisco Lindor
– Lindor's like 20 – he just feels like he's been there for a while. He's 23 or 24. Another robbery, Charlie, in our fantasy league. I think you offered someone like a can of seltzer for Lindor, and he got him. You.
Oh, my Lord.
Who? Yeah, you got
– Me? No, I traded Antonio Brown.
That's actually legitimate. I take it back.
Yeah.
But you got Miles Turner, too. Actually. He's decent.
Yeah, well, Turner's had a disaster season, but yeah. All right, okay, the Twins at 82.5. I think we both said we're taking the over. Key, but what did you say for that one?
I don't remember. Now I'm going to like say the opposite of what I said an hour ago.
You had said we had talked.
Yeah, no, I'm going over. I am, because they're the second best team in a crappy division. I'm going over.
Yeah. All right. Kansas City, 71.5.
Over, just because that's pretty low. And I think I know earlier I said the White Sox could get third place in the division, but the Royals are more experienced. They might just pull it out, you know, a distant third.
Yeah, I mean, look, they lost Hosmer and Lorenzo Cain, who were their two best players. So that's one issue. I mean, they still have
I like what Merrifield, he's underrated.
Like, there's no one in this lineup. There's no one in this lineup you're afraid of.
Moustakas is scary.
I'm not afraid of Whit Merrifield.
Their lineup is like, their rotation looks like a good AAA lineup. Like, ooh, the Mets are, you know, have a guy rehabbing. He's going up against Nate Karns or Jason Hamill. Or Ian Kennedy. It's like the whole rotation is guys who like are one bad outing from AAA, it seems.
How old is Ian Kennedy? If you told me,
I feel like he like flamed out early. I'm gonna guess 33. Charlie, you guess, and we'll see who's closest.
I'm gonna say
29. I nailed it. He's 33.
Young. Nice.
But he's been around for so. I mean, he was on the Yankees.
But I feel like he was a kid, and now. I mean, Hamill's older. Hamill's 35. Karns is 30. Not a lot of upside.
So was he 19 when he was on the Yankees? I don't understand. Like, when was he on the Yankees? When he was, like, their up-and-coming prospect?
I don't know. Maybe he was 20. I don't think so.
All right. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. All right. So Kansas City, Akiva said he's taking – wait, what are you taking?
Yeah, I'm going under.
All right. I'm going to take the over there. It's actually funny. I have over on four of the teams in this division, which for some reason. All right, the White Sox or the Tigers at 68.5, managed by Ron Gardenhire. Charlie, what do you say about that?
I'm saying the under.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think Fulmer has a big year. I think Cabrera has a
Jordan's
better year than last year, but there's just not enough there. Going under.
Yeah, and like Ron Gardenhire is a good manager for a team that's going to like weasel their way to 88 wins. He's not a good manager for like he was like really nasty and negative and depressed on the Twins like in like 11, 12, 13, 14. I don't know what the hell he's doing there. I mean, he's going to be gone well before they ever have a good team. So I don't know whatever. But I don't know why they signed him. I guess he wants to be the job because he just wants to be a manager, but I don't know what the time.
Yeah, no, I know why he took the job. Why, no one else is offering him $2 million to sit on a bench all day.
Yeah, he was a bench coach, but he wanted to be a manager. All right, okay, so the last team, the White Sox at 68, Charlie.
I'm going over on that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Over. I like Abreu. I like Moncada. I like Wellington Castillo. Like Giolito, I think, is going to have a really big year. I'm definitely going over.
Okay, so that means 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, we have like 13 differences, Akiva. So, by the way, in our bets, I've won every single one of our bets. You know, like we were doing like the $5 bets every week.
Does Paul the Saints fan still track that stuff?
Yeah, no, I went to check the document the other day. I won literally every single one of those so far, except for the two that were season long for NHL and NBA.
Do I owe you money?
In NHL, but right now you're $110. So we said nobody owes anybody.
You're up 22 bets on me? We've made like 23 bets.
Well, no. Because we remember we were making a $10 bet every week like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And then we got to the point where I was plus 50, and so the next week we made a $50.
No, I don't remember that one also. But it sounds like I have a gambling problem because I don't even remember losing this money.
Yeah, I have a doc in my. We're gonna have to
keep doubling or nothing until
it's all good.
How about this? I will take you out to eat Thursday night.
Is that anything? We
gotta find that out. I'll ask somebody.
Is everything closed for
pre-Passover? Hard to find a restaurant. Wolf.
There's got to be places.
Yeah, everyone plays will be open, right? And I don't know how much Charlie could contribute to the Jerusalem.
So yeah, they're having their Thursday night blow.
But the problem is that any place that's decent that's open is going to be like beyond packed. And I know the Chester name can get us a table. We might have to like flash.
We need a table in a quiet area for podcast.
At any restaurant, it's going to be a little noisy.
All right, so Charlie, give us your playoff prediction.
Who's making the playoffs? Who's winning it all?
Either, both. Yeah. Who's going to win the World Series?
Not the most popular pick, I don't think, but I'm saying this is finally the year the Nationals get there.
Wow.
Over who? Cleveland?
Keeve?
Yeah, I think Cleveland's going to pitch back to the World Series. It'll be Houston and Cleveland in the ALCS. Cleveland pulls it out this year.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick the Indians in 7 over the Yankees. And then the Nats at 7 over the Cubs, and then the Indians sweep the Nats.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So the first time is since 1948, 70 years. I was going to take Cleveland. I thought that was going to be like my hot take, but apparently it's not very original. So none of us are buying Houston to even win a playoff series.
First of all, you win a series. Oh, you mean because I didn't have them in the ALCS. Charlie did, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to the ALCS.
Yeah. So then that means the Yankees.
Yeah, it's so top
between
heavy.
Between the Yankees, Indians, and Astros, it's hard to see any of those teams losing. But which is why, like, you know, Charlie, as a Twins fan, what's our upside here? So we win 88 games, we get the second wild card again, we go into Boston, we pull an upset, and then what? We have to without our number one pitcher, we have to face Houston or Cleveland or the Yankees.
I think the bullpen turns into a Super Bullpen.
Yeah.
Trevor May, Tyler Duffy, all those guys
Trevor
get
May comes
healthy
back
and better.
That's true. Yeah.
And then the offense keeps, you know, playing like it did the last 2 months of 2017, and they can pull out a series.
So the Twins are going to the ALCS. Wow. You heard it here first.
I'm not going to put that one in ink, but I'm saying it's possible.
All right.
Yes.
Akiva, Mets Twins World Series 2018.
I will be there if it happens. That I can assure you. If it's on the moon, I would be there, but it's more likely that we're on the moon without the World Series than they're at the moon.
Yeah, I think this is not a high-risk proposition.
Yeah, I'll make another $50 bet about that if you want. Wait, Charlie, can we get... Let's get one embarrassing story, then we'll go off the air. No, I'm just kidding. We can go.
What? Charlie can be found at therunnersports.com, writing about the Twins and other things. Kiva, I will see you in a couple of days.
Bye.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Charlie.
Thanks, guys. It's the call of your goal. Now you're asking, can't we just be friends? But this thing in my chest and rings, and it's better to just pretend that I can't see you waiting. Can't hear you call my name, and I know how much you hate.
were careful, but we could do this all our lives. All but one of us got clumsy, and both of us got wise. And now we're not so young, see, our wishing well's gone dry. We've been living too long, too close, and I'm ready. Far too long.